Morning. So our reading is on page 148, no, 1048 even, of the Church Bibles, if you've got one. Otherwise, it's Luke chapter 14. And we're starting to read at verse 25, the cost of being a disciple. Large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays a foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he's able, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000. If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everyone. It's the start of term, isn't it? Yeah, you've got anyone with kids or grandkids in the family? It's the start of a new year, isn't it? It's an exciting time. You've all had a good break for your holidays, hopefully, and the kids are refreshed and can't wait to get back to school. Yeah, I think that's the theory. It's a start of term for us here as well at St Mary's, isn't it? We've got a fresh start. We've just finished the sermon series. If any of you have been attending that, hope you found that helpful. Yeah, did anyone enjoy that? Yeah, the armour of God. It was amazing to hear so many different voices and so many approaches, different ways to bring God's word. And yet the theme, the message was the same constantly. God loves us. He's protecting us. And I've got a lot from it. And thanks if you was involved in some of those. Give yourselves a round of applause for all the work that went on for that during the summer. So thanks for that. So we started a new term. So welcome to your new term, pupils or disciples, whatever you see yourselves as. So if we're now getting into the Church of England lectionary for a few weeks, and we're starting with a very challenging teaching we've just heard from Jesus on the cost of being a disciple. So this is from Luke's Gospel. So we always need to understand what the context is of what we're hearing. So just to put it into context, Jesus had started his ministry. He'd had 2.5 years of going round. He was sharing the good news of salvation. He was healing people. He was performing miracles. And there's this amazing groundswell of this amazing person, people following him. And it was just the most incredible thing that's ever happened in this world. But then it came to the point where Jesus had, just a few chapters previously, had told his followers that it was all going to come to an end, which was quite a shock for them. And Jesus told them what he had to face. And they just set off they were travelling towards Jerusalem. So his followers had this little bit of an air that something strange was going to change. And the ministry of Jesus and his followers would clearly cause a stir. And the whole of the country was buzzing with the news of what this remarkable man had been teaching and doing. If you remember, this morning's passage started with the phrase, large crowds were travelling with Jesus. And Jesus went on to give this very clear, unambiguous message about what it would mean to become one of his followers, or as we call them in the church, in the Bible, disciples. So Jesus summarised it into two parts. Firstly, the importance his followers give to his status in their relationships Why does he compare with everybody else in their lives? And secondly, how seriously we take this instruction to follow him in terms of the choices we make in life. But to put we just need to first put Jesus' words into context. The phrase that he used when saying that we must hate our families and even our own lives, this was a comparative statement. It certainly wasn't a comment used to describe emotions as we may understand it in the English language. This is one of the limitations of the English language compared with the Greek language. We just need to explain that. It certainly was not a reversal of his teaching throughout the Bible of loving each other. The point that Jesus was making was this. Consider how precious our loved ones, our friends, and our church family are to us. The people around us we love. They are to be loved. But Jesus must be loved even more. He must become above everybody else. He must come first in our devotion and attention. And secondly, when it comes to making choices in our daily lives, we must make Jesus' teaching our authority in absolutely everything. What we do, how we behave, how we relate to others, and how prepared we are to share the gospel with others. Right, a little challenge for you. The preacher J. John gave a wonderful modern-day parable of this teaching. So just listen to these following options and see which one applies to you. You haven't got to tell anyone, so just think about this. Imagine that your life is a car journey. I guess some of you have heard this before. Option one, is Jesus somebody that you hide in the boot of your car and you drive to church on Sunday, make sure your neighbours don't see him getting in the back, and then you get to church, you make sure nobody sees, and Jesus, you just go into the church with Jesus, then you go back home, and that's it. And then next Sunday you do the same again. Does that reflect your relationship with Jesus? Secondly, is Jesus somebody who sits on the back seat of your car and who you'll occasionally listen to when you're trying to find your way on a journey? That's the second option. Third option, Jesus, you actually let him into the front of the car. And sometimes you'll even listen when you're trying to find your way somewhere. And the fourth option, is Jesus actually driving the car? And are you happy to let him have the control of the sat-nav as well? Is he driving and directing? Which one of those applies to your life? It's challenging, isn't it? You don't need to come up with an answer now, but just think about it. And perhaps you might be looking to move up one or two categories, maybe. But going back to this morning's reading, Jesus gave his listeners two examples of counting the cost of being his follower. The first one I got excited about because I'm just retired as a quantity surveyor. And what's my job all about? Counting the cost of a building. I wouldn't want to tell you some of the horror stories of falling out about the value of cost of buildings I've gone through, but the point that Jesus is making is, if you're going to build something, if you built an extension, you're going to check the cost first, aren't you? And the second example Jesus gave was being a king about to go to war, knowing that you're hopelessly outnumbered. You would stop and think about it first, wouldn't you? Am I going to go to war? Do I have to? I'm going to lose lots of people. Is there an alternative? Jesus is basically saying to us, we need to seriously consider what we're doing when we decide to follow him. And I'm afraid to say there's no half measures. There's no wriggle room. Jesus wants it all. There's no option, I'm afraid, to be a part-time follower. Jesus is challenging us, each and every one of us, to understand this and to commit ourselves to give him everything. All of our devotion, all of our attention, all of our discipline, all of our allegiance, our whole lives dedicated to him. Everything. Isn't this challenging? And why is it? Why is he asking this? What gives him the right to demand everything from us? I'll say there's a couple of quick answers to that. Many more, but two fairly broad answers for you. God will not be able to use us or bless us if he's not in total control of our lives. There's no room for dual control, going back to the car analogy. We must honour the part of the Lord's Prayer when we say every day, "Your will be done." When we say that, do we mean it? Do we mean, "God, your will be done"? It's saying, God, it doesn't mean once in a day, it means thousands of times in a day. You'll have the choice, you have the option to agree and to do God's will or to do your own thing. It's not a one-off, it's daily, it's constant. But when we commit ourselves to this single-minded course of action, we're then demonstrating faith that we really believe that God knows what's best for us. He knows us so well. Secondly, Jesus is entitled to expect his followers to give up everything because that is exactly what he did. Philippians 2, verses 6 to 8, just to describe Jesus and how he gave himself up. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. We haven't got to die on the cross, but we've got to die to ourselves, to our own wills. Jesus literally gave up everything. His position, his righteousness, his place at the right-hand side of God's throne. Oops, sorry, technology's jumping around here, sorry. His close relationships with his followers, and even his life. So when we remember what Jesus gave up, does it seem such a large sacrifice for us to give our allegiance to him? In demonstrating his amazing, all-consuming, eternal love for us, God gave up the one he loved so much to rescue us and restore us into a loving relationship with him. Jesus chose to give up everything for you. Each one of us, he chose to give up everything. If you'd been the only person in the world, you've probably heard this before, Jesus would have gone through that for us. If you've studied the Gospels for as long as you like, and look at the rest of the Bible, you will not find a single instance of Jesus doing anything for himself. Everything he taught and demonstrated by his actions was for one thing, the glory of God. That was Jesus' life mission, and he wants it to be our life mission too. That is to tell of a loving, merciful Father whose love for us was so great that he was prepared to send his own dearly loved Son into the world for us. So it's not only Jesus made the huge sacrifice of leaving his Father's side for our benefit, but God himself sent his Son into the world knowing what needed to be done to reconcile us back to himself. Have you considered that before? Our infinite, loving, holy God had to give up what was most dear to him, knowing what his Son would have to go through to secure salvation for you and for the rescue of the whole of creation. And the basis of God's actions was simple: love. God is love. It's not an attribute, it's his nature. And through his great love for the world, he has created, and for us humans, God taught us through Scripture to call him Father. That is the relationship that God wants with you today. He wants to be your Father, and he wants you to know with no confusion, you are his child. Jesus is called to follow him and love the Father as made in love. He knows far better than we do what is best for us. And he wants us to succeed in our journey of life with him by our side and within us as a constant companion. Jesus' call to follow him is demanding, but it's made with our very best interests at heart. He knows us better than we know ourselves, and he's on our side. And we haven't got to do this alone. When we commit ourselves to following Jesus, loving him more than any other and putting him first in our lives, then God himself comes to us through the power of the Holy Spirit to transform us into Jesus' likeness. Romans 8:29 explains to us, it's not down to us. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brothers and sisters. It's not down to us. God's going to do it for us. All we've got to do is say yes. The more we spend time walking with Jesus, with Bible study, with prayer, with fellowship, the more we'll become like him. A warning, it's not going to happen overnight. It will take the rest of our lives to grow up spiritually in Christ. And there will be challenges on the way. There will be difficult times. And we will occasionally take our eyes off Jesus and wander off the pathway. But God knows of our fragility and human weakness and that we will stumble. But he will never, ever condemn us. But he will always reach out with his everlasting arms and he'll bring us back on track. Jesus, in challenging us with this command to put him first, was putting our interests first and setting us on a path that God has planned for each one of us. Everyone here today, every person in the world, each and every one of us are uniquely made by God for a specific purpose. There's no two blades of grass in the world the same. There's no two clouds that you'll ever see the same. Everything is new, everything is individual, unique. You are unique, made by God for a purpose, to be involved in the advancement of his kingdom and to glorify him in everything we do. When we walk in obedience to Jesus' teaching, we can look forward to a satisfying, purpose-driven, meaningful, anointed life with Jesus walking in step with us, in front of us, to show us the way. Jesus is inviting us to give up what we cannot keep, to gain what we can never lose. Our salvation is promised and assured. In John 10:26-28, Jesus says this when he's likening himself to being a shepherd and we're his sheep. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can ever snatch them out of my hand. We belong to him. We're no longer our own. We belong to him. There's a great cost to following Jesus in the way he commands, but there's a far greater cost in not following him. I used to have a computer screensaver with an image of Jesus surrounded by clouds with the following words. I didn't say it'd be easy, but I did say it'd be worth it. So we're shortly about to take communion to renew the covenant of love with Jesus. When you take the sacraments, just take a moment. Just remember the great cost that Jesus paid to give you the privilege to become a child of God and to look forward to a fellowship with him that is guaranteed, everlasting and eternal. So I invite you today to take up the challenge and walk with Jesus by your side as your ever-present helper and guide, trusting and obeying him always. Do you remember that? Trust and obey. If he was here during the summer, trust him and obey him always. Amen.